All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox!
I have to possess this comic!
Baseball's the breakfast cereal!
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book!
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
This is...
Lackadaisical. What the hell is that?
I don't know.
Energy. Come on, 65. It's a big number.
It's too darn hot.
It is not. That was 2 weeks ago.
Well, it's still pretty hot.
Nah, not nearly as bad. I'm not sweating. It's not dripping profusely. I don't stink.
Well, nonetheless, this is Big Kev's Gig Stuff.
It sure is.
It is episode 65.
And you do have a ridiculous title for the episode, I'm sure.
I do. This is episode 65, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and the Sorcerer's Secret Phoenix Fire of Azkaban.
A.K.A.
There you go.
Ridiculous.
Fantastic.
Ridiculous.
Make sure you get that one up when you post this episode.
You're just silly.
Why? I think that's funny. It's celebrating the release of... Order of the Phoenix, the latest Harry Potter installment.
Which we saw.
We hosted.
Well, we do that on occasion at midnight. Speaking of that little hosting event, maybe we should start off tonight's show with...
Oh, here they come.
With a correction, perhaps.
You know...
Let me say my part here. I'd like to start this off by saying that despite what many of you who may or may not have been at this event last night... This really not our fault. Okay?
No.
So I want to take the blame away from us.
Good.
Prior to doing a hosting of a midnight show, if there is a subject matter that we are not confident on, we take it to the fans.
Yes.
To provide us with a suitable trivia question or series of trivia questions that would be good to present to the audience.
Right.
And thus... enable us to award prizes, etc.
Right. Yeah, for the little trivia contest.
Right. Now, 9 times out of 10, we're pretty well versed on the stuff that we're hosting.
This is true.
Just the natural progression of things.
But you know how rabid these Harry Potter fans are, so you can't just give them, you know,
who kills Dumbledore?
Well, let me get to it. What we wanted to do was we really wanted to come up with something a little bit good, maybe something that could stump a few people, you know, have a little bit of fun with it. We polled a bunch of people as they were coming in and out for the midnight show. They were walking by the table and we were greeting them and stuff like that. And, you know, the people that had helped us out, we told them they couldn't participate, but we gave them a little extra something, yada, yada.
We usually try to have a little something for everybody.
We do. And the question we went with... was what is Hermione Granger's Patronus?
Right.
From the Order of the Phoenix.
Because...
The book, because obviously we hadn't seen the film yet.
Right. And somebody said to, you know, someone who we asked who is a self-proclaimed expert in this material, said that the answer was beaver.
A beaver. Now, in this person's defense, that answer was... corroborated, is that the right word? By more than one person?
Yes, it was.
So we were pretty confident in the fact that beaver was the correct answer. Admittedly, neither one of us knew for sure, but we went with it. We figured, these guys know, let's go with it.
And not for nothing, Hermione Granger and beaver.
Really kind of funny.
So, yeah, so we were like, we're okay with that. There's lots of entendre there.
The problem, of course, being with this little... question and situation is that her Patronus, not really a beaver.
Not a beaver.
Now, otter.
It's an otter, yes.
So for those of you in the first two theaters that we visited, that that insisted it was Otter, and we insisted it was wrong. I'd like to just throw a little apology out there, a little I'm sorry, and
the one
maybe,
girl
maybe come up to us at the opening of
something,
the next Harry Potter movie next year,
right? And remind us what idiots we were.
We'll do something for you, maybe.
The that one girl though in the full outfit with the broom and everything,
yeah.
I thought she was gonna smack me with that broom. She was screaming, "You're a liar! You're a liar!"
You guys should have played it off like it was a bit, and you were just going there with the wrong answer.
Well, there were 200 people there ready to string us up.
This is kind of funny. Well, first of all, that girl that was ready to string you up, we gave her a prize. We did give her a prize.
I didn't give her a prize.
I gave her a prize. But we go into the last theater, right? Which is probably the biggest of all the theaters at this AMC.
That's
and it
true.
Is packed. I mean, I don't think there was maybe 10 empty seats in the whole place, right? We throw the question out there. Some kid jumps up, stands on his seat, jumping up and down. I know the answer. We bring him down in front of this full theater and we're like, here's the question. What's the answer? And he screams, "A beaver." And I just looked at Kevin and I was like, what the fuck are the odds of that? What are the odds?
And so, then, of course, we're like, no, it's not a beaver.
It's an otter. Duh.
So now you're accused of changing the answer
between shows. Yeah. We are. It was a bit of a debacle.
And then, of course, in the theater that had the girl with the broom happened to be the one that we were actually sitting in. So once we were done doing all of these introductions and, you know, speaking with all the crowd, we then had to walk back into that theater,
right?
where we found out that the answer was wrong. We had to walk back into that theater and sit down.
Now, how did that go?
Yeah, it was
smooth. Actually, that was well, so-so, but here's
yeah,
the funny
because,
part.
Well, yeah, for you, you well, ran up the steps.
I did, with my head down.
Like there was a biscotti at the top that no one had claimed.
Word.
So, Kevin probably won't remember this part because he's a little sleepy, but as we're watching the movie, it comes upon the scene where they're all summoning their Patronuses. And Hermione summons her Patronus, and an otter pops out, and the entire theater screams and shouts, "It's an otter!" And everybody claps. So there it is.
I missed that part.
This is why I don't hang out with you guys.
So there it is. So there's the correction. Look, we're eating crow. We're apologizing.
Yep.
It was our bad. We won't let it happen again. And we're not going to trust the fans anymore is really
well,
what it comes
down
to.
And that particular, that one particular person? You're dead.
Yeah. So let's move into the rest of the episode.
Make Matt look like an ass.
That's right. You know, I got connections. Carmine. That's all I'm saying. Oh, but we did get applause in one of the theaters, too. I don't know.
A couple of them, actually.
Maybe they knew us, or maybe they just liked the fact that you kept calling me OG.
A few people did, in fact, come up to us and say that that they've listened to the show and knew who we were and so on.
Always nice.
What? I introduced you as OG to a few people. So what?
It's starting to stick.
It's 1,200 people, but I mean, you know, I introduced you.
It's starting to stick a little.
Stink
like
or stick?
That. Stick.
Stick. Okay.
Speaking of sticking.
Yes.
No hair is sticking to the head of Kevin Spacey when he reprises his role as Lex Luthor in the Superman sequel. How'd you like that segue?
Beautiful.
It was good, right?
No.
Not at all.
I would have went with something like, speaking of sticking, I'm going to stick a gun in my mouth because they're going to make a Superman sequel.
Well, you know, there is some rumor out there that the Superman sequel will be delayed for the Justice League film.
Yeah. Right.
You know, there's a full script now. The first draft of a full script. It's out there.
Ooh, the lolly.
That's right. They're moving forward with it. They haven't canned it, panned it, canceled it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
what's it gonna be? Christian Bale's Batman.
You know what? Christian Bale actually said that he wouldn't be entirely opposed to potentially starring as Batman in the film.
And what's his name as Supes?
God, I hope not.
Brendan Routh.
He looks the part, but. Ugh.
And who would be Wonder Woman?
I don't know. The movie was canned. I mean, if you ask me, Charisma Carpenter, Marina Bakarin, that Indian chick, one of them.
I can't remember her name, that one that we were looking at.
So there's that.
Why can't it be Megan Fox?
It could be Megan
Fox. Oh, wait, because she's far too young to be Wonder Woman.
But she's way hot.
Ugh, unbelievable.
And I'd like to see her in the Wonder Woman outfit. That's all I'm saying.
You can see her in less than the Wonder Woman outfit if you go to BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
Word.
And you click on the photo gallery for episode 64.
Yes, the Transformers episode. No, yeah. 65. 65. This, oh, this, yeah, 64. This is 65, 65, isn't it?
Sir.
Maybe it is too darn hot. So we have some Indiana Jones rumors floating around.
Bam, ba, da, bam, bam, ba, da.
We're going to have to make an Indiana Jones stinger now?
Maybe. That would be a good stinger, though.
It would be a good stinger.
I don't want it to be confused with other stingers that contain that music.
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't really use that stinger anymore.
Hey.
There's
been some transitional issues, but bit's coming back.
That pivot is coming back, but maybe we should rethink it all overall.
Especially since once you're done with your big move, the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive. There. See, we're using it right now. The Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive is being... what's the word? It's being reorganized and,
sure.
And some changes are being made. Some products are being released from the archive. It's quite an undertaking. I have no problem telling you right now that's going to be a bit of a stunner on the fellas down there.
Well, I hear when you're... when you're at a Comic-Con in San Diego, you're going to take a drive down a little south across the border and pick up some new workers, right?
No, we don't. You know, I keep telling you, we don't talk about that.
So anyway, Indiana Jones 4. The rumor right now that's floating around, although I don't put much weight behind it, but the rumor is that it's going to deal with the Ark of the Covenant again. That it's going to kind of bring the story full circle, that it's going to be about potentially the Russians trying to get the Ark to help build some sort of military project around it as a weapon. And it's going to bring the storyline full circle.
Mm-hmm. Bad idea.
I agree. I think they need to stay away from that. I think they need to go with something original.
How about Spear of Destiny? That was a great comic book.
I don't know. Well, that was one of the other rumors early on, but, you know, God only knows. Was that considered canon? Canon?
I think so, yeah. I think anything in the books is considered canon.
Yeah?
Oh, well, then in that case, maybe.
Exactly. So who knows?
Fantastic. Something to add?
Have we pinned down what year, where in the continuity this movie's supposed to take place?
Well, I believe in the continuity it does take place after The Last Crusade.
Ah, but does it take place before his appearance on Young Indiana Jones Chronicles?
Well, I would have to think so. How old is he in Young Indiana Jones Chronicles?
He's older.
Wicked old.
And he had a beard.
That's what I mean. And in the pictures we've seen so far, No.
Well, yeah, we're talking about Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's what I meant. I meant Harrison Ford's appearance in the
Indiana Jones Chronicles. I had actually read somewhere along the lines that they were considering no longer allowing the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles to be actual part of the mythos, I guess you would say.
Didn't hear that. Did hear, though, that the latest rumor on the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles is that the DVD release for that will happen, could possibly happen in conjunction with the film next year or the DVD release of that film.
Yeah.
So.
It doesn't make any sense to me, considering most of it has been released on VHS, I think. It's right?
So all of it. The whole series was released on VHS.
I mean, what would hold up that DVD? I mean, Lucas has got to be looking for something at some point, right?
You're saying that Harrison Ford appears as an older Indy
in Young Indiana Jones Chronicles? One episode.
Isn't it the last episode? Isn't it the final episode?
Mm-mm. Nope. There's one in the middle.
How's it work?
He, without giving it all away, for those of you who don't have the VHS... He is in the Northeast United States somewhere, and he and an Indian are being chased. They're in a pickup truck.
Indiana,
he has a beard.
And
yeah, and I don't know, they take refuge in some cabin or something like that, and he basically is supposed to be telling the Indian this story about how he learned to play the sax or something, and then it flashes back to another time, and then at the end there's some other sort of action where they get away from... whomever, and that was it.
Isn't that the famed episode, too, where he makes reference to his daughter? Is that same bit?
I don't know that he made reference to anything in there.
So what is the young Indiana Jones where he makes reference to the fact that he has a daughter?
There were three different time periods they covered in Indiana Jones. Him as a very small boy.
Right.
Him as a young man.
Right.
19, 20, 21, that era. And him as a really old man.
Right.
And in the when he's the really old man, I believe... It's been quite some time. I believe he lives with his daughter.
Oh, he lives with his daughter. That's what it is, right.
I think that's what it is, if I'm not mistaken. But that being said, Harrison Ford, as a favor to George Lucas, I guess, or Steven Spielberg, or both, made one appearance on the show. And I'm sure it was the highest rated episode.
Oh, I'm sure.
Of the series, I'm sure. And, yeah, I actually have it.
Is that
fantastic.
A good show?
Young Indiana Jones?
Yeah, it was real good.
When it was the middle-aged ones, the middle-aged ones, which was Sean Patrick Flannery.
Yes.
As Indiana Jones. When it was that storyline, which basically is the one that they kind of eventually sort of almost solely focused on. The young one kind of went away, and the older one kind of really went away much quicker than that, if I remember correctly. I could be entirely wrong. If you are an expert on the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, send us an email, and correct me. I dare you to correct me.
And I'll be verifying all of that information 2, 3, and 4 times.
Yes. And,
The
middle-aged one was very good, yeah.
Okay.
But I actually have that episode, fantastic, on VHS if you'd like to see it.
I'll get it on YouTube.
Well, I don't think you will, sir. I don't think you will. I have it on VHS. It's one of the few VHSs that I still own.
That's no good to me. My VCR is hollowed out and has like other parts inside of it.
Like a flower pot?
Kind of, but it's just screws, right?
Just a holder box now. What else you got over there?
Do you want to hear about the potential plot lines for Kill Bills Volume 3 and 4?
Well, where would they go since Bill is, dead.
Yeah, is dead? I don't know.
Great, nice. I'm so glad that you said that without putting up that spoiler information
first. No, I paused, though. I said, sorry, guys.
The third film involves the revenge of two killers whose arms and eyes were hacked by Uma Thurman in the first two stories. And the fourth installment of the popular Kung Fu action films concerns cycle of reprisals and daughters who avenge their mother's deaths. Blah, blah, blah. So
how does one cure? How does one cure the Kung Flu?
Kung Flu? I don't know. With Tylenol, flu, and cold. There you go.
But that sounds dumb.
It does sound
Not
dumb.
The Tylenol part. The
well, that sounded
part.
Dumb too, but that's okay. Yeah, it sounds dumb. I thought really Kill Bill 1 and 2 was kind of very nicely packaged and self-contained, and I think, again, you run the risk of doing bad things. What the fuck you doing?
He's trying to emulate that alarm noise.
Really, you're just emulating nothing but anger and frustration in me.
Well, I will cure that anger and frustration right now by showing you Neil Gaiman's new book.
Don't do me any favors. Oh, Neil Gaiman, wait.
It's called M is for Magic. Ooh. It's a collection of stories,
sweet.
All of which I'm going to read for you right now.
No, you're not.
No, but I am going to say that this is a lot of stuff that's been published in various different magazines and journals.
Okay.
And which has now been collected in this one volume. A couple of these include The Case of 4 and 20 Blackbirds, which was first published in Knave in 1984.
Huh.
It's some old stuff. How to Sell the Ponte Bridge, which was first published in Imagine number 24 back in 1985. The Price, which was first published as a chapbook by Dreamhaven Press back in 97. There's a whole bunch of these stories.
A bevy
indeed. And it's great. It's a nice little Neil Gaiman reader. We haven't got a new novel yet from Neil. It's because he's been up to his ass in film work,
yep.
Which includes Stardust,
right,
coming out very soon.
Yeah.
And he is also one of the screenwriters on the Beowulf movie.
Yes.
That's coming out as well. It's a nice read, $16.99 by HarperCollins. You can go to HarperCollinsChildrens.com to check out where you can purchase it. I'm sure you can purchase it in all of the new places online. The usual places online, I should say.
All right.
Is there anything else known about Beowulf, the movie? Not a lot?
No.
Speculation as to who plays Grendel?
I say CGI.
Estelle Getty?
Ooh.
No?
She's dead.
She is?
No, Estelle Getty.
Estelle Getty is dead.
CGI Estelle
no.
Getty.
No.
I think Estelle Getty is dead.
Fantastic. Really?
You look it up on IMDb. You want to bet right now?
That no. one I will look up.
You will?
If your internet works. You have
my
far
internet
the slowest internet
always
I've ever
works.
Experienced.
It's not
who's your
my
provider?
Internet. It's the studio
Juno?
Internet.
Jet Li's going to be playing the Monkey King.
The Monkey King?
I don't know much about the Monkey King. It's
okay.
one of those...
I'm going to tell you why I know about the Monkey King. Okay. First of all, what do you know?
I mostly nothing, other what? Than what I read in Jet Li's little blog,
okay.
which, you know.
Which is what?
I don't know, something that he knows how to... He's like a monk, and he has earthly transformations that he can transform himself into different creatures or beings, and I'm not exactly sure how it all works, but I don't know.
Is this like the is legend it... of the monkey with the cane? That
no,
is
Monkey
that?
King. No, no, no. This is it's some sort of big legend in China, and the reason I know it is because recently I was trapped in a car with three small children in a minivan with my beautiful Elizabeth, who is a nanny, as
right.
we may have discussed before, and trapped in the car with her three charges who insisted on watching Big Bird Goes to China in the car. So
okay.
I'm wedged in the back seat with the young lad, and because he's like, come sit in the back with me. I was like, yeah, sure, kid, I'll come sit in the back with you. Little did I realize what that meant was is that I would not be able to move or turn away in any fashion from Big Bird Goes to China.
Nice.
And they explain some of this Monkey King legend
business,
and the Monkey King is in that movie as well, not played by Jet Li, I like to add. And, the Monkey King, apparently this is a big thing that children know in China.
Right.
Now, whether this Monkey King
well, it's going to,
and
he's
that
going to,
Monkey King are the same Monkey King.
I believe it is. And he's
okay.
going to be playing the role in the film Forbidden Kingdom, which we had heard little bits and pieces about earlier on. So I guess this is going to be his role in said film. So, again, I don't know a huge amount about it, but it's just nice to see Jet Li always keeping busy and working.
Yes.
You know when you look up somebody's name, like on Wikipedia or on IMDb,
yeah.
and you're not sure if they're dead? And you're kind of scrolling down, and you're looking for the date where it says died.
Right.
You know, and
it's
like,
right on the top of IMDb.
Well, it would be if Estelle Getty were dead.
Ah! See? I knew it. You rat bastard.
And it's not always on the top of Wikipedia, you know. That's written by whoever
IMDb,
wants
sir.
To write it.
I said IMDb, sir.
And she's 83. She's at home. And she's in failing health, but still ticking.
There
and
you
she's
go.
Very upset with you.
She should be.
What are you looking at?
I am looking at pictures from NECA's cult classics fall release that's coming out.
Mostly unexcited about that, except for two figures.
Well, yeah, we should say. Oh, well, I'm going to say what the rest of the figures are. The Hare Krishna zombie from Dawn of the Dead, the 1978
right.
Dawn of the Dead. S-Mart Ash from Army of Darkness,
right.
which is really cool. He's actually on that cart
he's
that
on
rolls,
the cart. Yeah, that
it's
one
got
I'm
the blue
like,
light on it.
Yeah.
I'm totally jazzed about that. Rob Zombie's Michael Myers,
yeah.
which is
so-so.
You know, pretty much Michael
How's
Myers.
How's that a cult classic? Hasbro Marvel Legends.
Oh. No, I don't. I,
yeah.
That's probably
it's,
a new,
it's the new, it's
right.
new Halloween.
The two exciting
the
ones,
one.
The two
Thank
exciting
you.
Ones, of course, are David and Michael.
Yes.
From The Lost Boys.
Does Michael come with maggots?
You're eating maggots, Michael.
He totally
I don't know.
Should come with maggots.
Hmm.
But he does, they both come with interchangeable heads. Is that correct?
Now, they're showing two different, they're showing the vampire face and the unvampire
on both of them.
Face. On both of them. But it's not clear. I'm actually going to a different piece of source material.
Checking your sources.
To see.
That's good.
It's
a new practice for us.
Wait,
here.
Hold on. Hold on 1 second. Why don't we just take one, just a 2 second pause while I look this up.
And tan and young and lovely. The passes, each one she passes goes.
And we're back. Yeah, it looks like I'm seeing here, it looks like what's being indicated here is that they do, in fact, come with interchangeable heads.
Nice.
I guess. I mean, that's what it seems to be indicating here.
You seem so confident.
Well, it's the source material is unclear. They do say, however, that the likenesses are very good, which is true. They do say, however, that each figure boasts multiple points of articulation for recreating your favorite vampire poses, steer skulls, and diorama bases evoking favorite scenes from the movie.
He better come with maggots. That's all I'm saying.
I really don't think he's coming with maggots.
A little Chinese food container with a couple of little maggoty things coming out.
I'll make you one, you big, giant baby. So, yeah, we can look forward to those from NECA.
Excellent. I have a little bit of an update on something we talked about last week, I believe. Cloverfield sweeping the internet with its viral marketing campaigns. This one I did get into a little bit more than I normally do. Fantastic. I know we had that conversation about how we normally get, you know, bored about it and let other people figure it out. But this one was kind of fun. It was like, you know, puzzles and games and like, you know, you had to jump pieces around and solve cryptic puzzles. It was kind of interesting. So Cloverfield, for those of you who may or may not know, it's the J.J. Abrams monster film that's coming out January 08. I believe it's 1/18/08 is now what we've come to learn to be true. The viral marketing campaign website is EthanHaasWasRight.com. That's Ethan, E-T-H-A-N, Haas, H-A-A-S, WasRight.com. And when you go there, you kind of get some video footage, a couple of games that that show some like cryptic messages. And at the very least, it would appear that the movie is some sort of monster flick, but it's definitely an alien monster flick. It's definitely a from outer space
type
monster flick. Yeah. So, I don't know. The trailer is officially up on Apple now. Finally, you could see it. So if you haven't had the chance to see that giant Statue of Liberty head come flying through New York City and smash through a building and land in front of a group of people, you really can go check that out. It's awesome. It sounds like the entire film is going to be shot using a handheld camera or handheld camera style. So it's that shaky cam for the entire thing because it's kind of supposed to be documentary-like.
Was this that mystery film that was on Transformers?
It was, yes. Yeah. And since all of the hype that surrounded it, they've been leaking little bits and pieces of information about it. And I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued. At the very least, it seems like it's going to be pretty cool. I trust J.J. Abrams pretty much, so we'll see.
I don't know the guy.
He does...
J.J. Abrams?
He does Lost.
Yeah. All right.
He does Lost. He's doing the new Star Trek film that's coming out.
Well, I definitely don't trust him then.
Mission Impossible 3.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, Jesus, fantastic.
So I highly recommend checking out EthanHaasWasRight.com. Definitely check out Apple QuickTime site to check out the trailer if you haven't seen it already. And I think this is one we're going to follow pretty closely between now and the release, because I think you're going to see a lot of stuff kind of slowly leak out about it and how it works. And it's going to be kind of interesting. I think it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of the next Blair Witch.
I'd just like to bring a comic book to everybody's attention. From Wildstorm Studios, you can go to wildstorm.com to check it out. These guys have been doing the Friday the 13th. Comics,
right?
For DC and Freddy and a bunch of the horror comics based on films. They came out with this one, which I thought was really interesting. It's Friday the 13th, Pamela's Tale.
Now, Pamela, is that?
Pamela Voorhees.
That's Jason Voorhees' mother.
Mother.
Correct.
Yes.
Right?
So this story tells how she, I guess, got knocked up with Jason and how he was born and what happened. It's a two-issue miniseries. Issue one is out now. I just happen to think, well, you know, as you know, I'm a fan of the Friday 13th series, so of course I find this stuff really interesting. The cover of this book is by Dustin Nguyen, and I just think it's a really neat cover.
Show me.
It's a really neat cover.
What is that, a cockatoo?
No, that's Jason.
Okay, and what's that thing on the left? Oh, that's a woman.
Yes.
That's the pregnant mother. She's Prego.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's good, right? Dustin Gwen did the cover.
What was it?
The issue was written by Mark Andrecchio, and the art inside is by Sean Mull. I don't know their work. It's not looking too bad. Looks like a good read. But that cover really is something.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's a creepy-looking kid, man. He's like all alien.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get it. I haven't seen all of them, but I saw the one where, like, the spirit of Jason is like the salamander that crawls into your vagina if you're a woman with a vagina.
Yeah,
is that that one?
No, that would be, which one was that? 9?
Was that even Friday the 13th?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
There was a weird one in there. It was number 9. A lot of people kind of written that one off.
I mean, really, looking at this last like, panel here, looks like he should be born with a hockey mask already on. That's an ugly baby.
Damn.
What about the one in space?
Baby.
That was
Jason X. That was awesome, that one.
So they didn't write that one off?
They didn't, no.
I mean, it's in space.
Yeah, and in the future, too. So anything else could still happen to Jason before the events of that movie take place, really. Mm.
He could get blown up by the entire military.
But, no, that's what happens in the beginning of that movie.
Oh, okay.
He's been blown up and killed and everything like 100 times.
Yeah, when I saw that one, I saw that scene. I said, "Oh, well, it's over. It's a short movie."
They're all terrible. They're all awful. I mean, you're not looking at one going, "Damn, that was a fine movie." You're never ever doing that. You have to enjoy them for the campiness of them all.
What about Freddy vs. Jason? Is that canon?
It is canon.
It
actually,
is canon. Yeah.
Both franchises. Yeah. But again, takes place before the events in Jason X. So
right,
and apparently I heard a rumor that they are working on a sequel.
Yeah,
either another Freddy Jason movie or another Jason movie for sure. So that's what I keep hearing. So anyway, Friday the 13th, Pamela's Tale. Check that out. Go over to wildstorm.com. Go to your local comic shop and see if they have it. If they don't, ask them for it.
Well, let's go to a little toy news real quick. I have an update on something we talked about a couple weeks back regarding Mattel and DC Direct.
Oh.
For those of you who may or may not have read this already online, there was an interview done with Cheryl Rubin from DC.
Cheryl Rubin?
Yeah.
Okay.
And George Brewer from DC Direct.
Uh-oh.
And it directly involves something we kind of talked about in regards to that licensing thing.
Something going on with Mattel. We don't know exactly what yet, but we did
hear... Well, we do know now.
Well, we did hear initially that it did concern their 6-inch DC Superheroes line, the one that's kind of been fledgling the last year and a half or two. So, all right, what is it?
Mattel apparently has access to the full DC Universe. Now,
yeah, I expect
to do whatever
that
they want with that line.
Oh boy!
Now, what does that mean for DC Direct? Which is the question that we had asked.
Yes,
and the answer: absolutely nothing. Which makes sense to me, and I'll tell you why.
Okay,
Mattel's product is definitely geared towards a different audience to a certain degree.
Right.
Okay. Apparently, DC Direct is going to continue to put out stuff that is inspired by specific artists,
right,
specific storylines, perhaps.
Okay.
Still a little bit more high end.
Right.
You know, a little bit of a nicer job, packaging, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Stuff that really has made DC Direct what DC Direct is.
Right.
Mattel will have access to do, you know, every obscure DC character if they choose to in their 6-inch line.
Right.
So really, it's going to end up being a collaborative effort. I think it's good for Mattel because I think it's going to allow Mattel to really expand their horizons behind Batman and Superman.
Well, really, they've been suffering from the fact that
sure,
they've only had very limited amount of characters to use.
Sure.
And, you know, from the product they've put out, an extremely limited amount of characters to use. So on the one hand, yeah, it is a really good thing.
And I really do think that DC Direct has made a great, great, I don't want to call it niche because it's not really what it is, but they've made a great name for themselves in doing these artist-inspired figure lines.
Right.
And I think that's really their bread and butter for the most part. I mean, we've kind of talked about some of the generic figures that they've put out in the past, and certainly their roots were in generic DC characters. And really where they began to excel and really shine is where when they started taking these artists and making them 2D, from 2D images into 3D.
Right.
Small statues, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think DC Direct is going to do fine. And again, I think Mattel's going to be good. So that's a little update on
It's potentially good for everybody.
I think so. For the collectors, too, I think. I think it's going to open up the availability of certain characters to collectors as well.
Right.
So.
I should tell you that Dynamic Forces put out a product this week.
Wow.
And actually,
still around?
It's been, they are. I thought they were gone, too, for a bit. But they've apparently been soliciting these posters for quite a while.
Of course.
And they've actually now they've all come out all at once, which I think was not very retailer-friendly. I don't think the retailer – I think Retailer X, in fact, may stop in next week and have a word to say about that.
Oh, yeah?
That.
He's getting a flight in from the bathhouse?
Maybe. In fact, he was supposed to join us this week, but, you know, our luck with guests. So there's terrible weather in the Midwest, so
I know
we can only get them when we can get them. But the point is, Dynamic Forces has put out these posters, and there are several. Just to name a few, there's two from 300. One is called Spartans Attack.
Is this the film now or the book?
The book.
Okay.
Spartans Attack from Frank Miller and Lynn Varley. First Day or Day One. From 300, Frank Miller, Lynn Varley. Right. Frank chose Red Sonja cover, which was really good. What are you yucking it for?
I'm yucking not at the fact that it wasn't good or Frank Cho, because you know that I
Red
love
Sonja.
Frank Cho. I just don't care about Red Sonja.
They also put out another Marv from Sin City poster.
Okay.
And Arthur Pseudonym or Sweetum or whatever his name is. The guy's doing all that zombie work. Did a Savage Tale. I think it's a Savage Tales cover, which they put out as a poster as well. So here's my beef. On the one hand, it's great to have these. It's great to have these posters,
but
because they're beautiful, the artwork is beautiful, as we've discussed. 300 artwork, of course, is at this point is pretty legendary, and so forth. Of course, any chance to get Frank Cho work is good. Any opportunity really to get something by Frank is a good thing. My problem is that these posters are half the size of a standard poster.
Okay. Do you think it's a price point thing? How much are they selling for?
Yeah, you're getting ahead of me here. They're actually a dollar more than the average price of a regular size poster that comes from, let's say, DC.
So they're like $8.99?
So they're $7.99.
Oh, okay.
$7.99 is the retail coming from Dynamic Forces for a poster half the size of any DC poster, and it's the same price. So while the images are great, and if you're a really big fan, you're going to want these images, they are, in my opinion, too little poster for too much money.
Well, it happens.
It does. I mean, again, you're a big fan of 300. There's not a lot of 300 poster stuff from the book out there. So
I think Dynamic
Forces
knows that. So.
I know. And you're going to want that Frank Cho cover. And you ain't going to get it anywhere else. So, you know, I mean, short of high-res scanning it and have it printed somewhere, you know, that does really cool printing stuff. I don't want to mention any names. Alpha Graphics. So, other than that, I mean, this is your opportunity.
Sure.
Here.
Well, I only have two things left. I'd like to subtitle or give a little special heading to this section. It's the how the companies that are not Nintendo are fucking up the video game consoles that they're choosing to put out.
Oh, look, Fantastic just perked up.
Well, you know, this is his bag, baby.
Yes, it is his bag.
Let's talk about the Xbox first.
Okay.
Microsoft has announced that due to hardware failure problems that they've been having with the Xbox 360.
I haven't encountered any.
They are going to incur costs close to $1 billion to repair faulty systems.
Okay.
So
You haven't encountered any problems because you haven't played it enough.
I play it frequently.
Well,
regular sort of.
Just to clarify that point, are you saying that, or is the is the problem, do you know, caused by excessive play? Is it like a heating issue, perhaps,
or is it just he hasn't played it
enough to encounter the error?
A little bit of both.
Okay,
yeah, it is considered to be a heating issue, kind of a heating / design issue, and that the way some of the boards inside warp when it gets hot causes a disconnection between some of the very important parts like the processor.
Right.
And what you see is that red ring of death, or the three red blinking lights. And that's what they've eventually now come out and said, oh, this looks like it's a problem for a couple of you. We're going to extend your warranties by, what is it, 3 years?
I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. So it, if you play more, it's more apt to happen to you.
Well,
if your Xbox is in an area where it's not getting proper ventilation, that can happen. But I mean, I've played a lot, and I'd say it's in a pretty congested area, and it's never happened to me. Knock, because it's probably going to with the numbers. The estimations are it's somewhere around between 40 and 60. So 30% of Xboxes affected is kind of the number that the community has settled on.
Wow. So do we think this is a glitch or a problem that could have been handled, perhaps, if there was more R&D into the system before it was released? Perhaps Microsoft was a little hasty in putting it on the market.
Microsoft is very hesitant about saying that it was one thing or the other. They won't say it's design. It's a design issue. They won't say it's a manufacturing issue. The way that they've treated it is by saying, and this is the dumbest thing possible, it's a Microsoft issue, meaning that they're going to take the blame and do whatever that they need to do to make it
better. I define a Microsoft issue a little differently than that.
What's that?
Insofar as I think that Microsoft has a tendency to put out every single product that they ever release way too early.
No,
I mean, their operating systems.
That's not what they mean, though.
And their console. I know that's not what they mean, but that's how I'm interpreting it, because I really do think that if maybe they took the time to develop their things a little bit more before rushing it to the market, that they can avoid some of these problems.
Well, the other thing that they're trying to do is not blame all of the third parties that they've hired. They, you know, do a lot of manufacturing third party. They don't want to blame them. And they don't want to blame the, you know, industrial design house that they brought in to do some of the design and things like that. They don't want to blame them. They don't want to make more enemies than they already have.
Sure.
But it's you'll see a lot of, like, geeks out there saying, oh, it's clearly a design problem, that if you would have designed the bracket in such a way, when the temperature would have, you know, gotten to this temperature, blah, blah, blah. And they think they know everything. But obviously, I mean, Something went wrong.
Something went
somewhere.
Wrong.
And it's up to Microsoft to foot the bill and fix it now.
Yeah, I think in the console wars that's going on right now, for something like this to happen is very, very inopportune for Microsoft. And I think they're having a hard time as it is, a little bit at least, and this doesn't help. I don't know.
They're doing pretty well. The thing that really pisses me off, though, is that the entire time they said, no, there's no problem. Whatever asked to comment publicly, no, there's no problem. And then suddenly one day they about face and say, there's a problem, and we acknowledge it, and we're going to help you fix it. But all the torture that they put everybody else through who had that problem from, you know, day one, that kind of pisses me off. But
yeah,
at least they're doing something now.
Okay, so there's the Microsoft Xbox blunder. Let's go right to Sony. Sony has made an announcement. Oh, I'm sorry, Kev, did you
make TVs, right?
No, yes. I said okay.
They make MP3 players?
They do make MP3 players.
They do?
I think they make computers.
I thought Apple was the only company making MP3 players.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only company making ones
that
sell.
They make surround sound systems.
They make stereos and CD players.
DVD players, CD players.
I think they make robot dogs, too.
They did
at one point.
They do.
I think so.
Are they still making iBos?
I don't think so, no.
They also make computers, too.
I always wanted, right?
I mentioned that one, Kev.
I'm sorry.
A couple years ago, they came out with you plug it to your TV and you controllers. Video game system.
PS, baby. PlayStation.
And then there was the PlayStation 2, was the sequel.
That was a good one.
And now the PlayStation 3, which...
What?
Yeah. Well, look, as far as how the system works, I've actually begun to hear less and less complaints about the system.
Yeah.
I think as more people are starting to pick the system up, they are appreciating the system for what it is. Although it's still not being used to its fullest capacity, I think anybody will tell you that. I think people, or at least gamers that finally are playing it a little bit more, I think they do agree that it is a great console for that. But that's not where the problem lies. I've been saying since we first started talking about the PS3, and I know a lot of people have agreed with me, that one of the biggest problems Sony was going to face was with the pricing of the system. It wasn't priced well enough, or it wasn't a friendly price.
It wasn't cheap enough.
Casual gamers. Well, no, but it wasn't. Well, you're right. It wasn't cheap enough for casual gamers. I mean, you know, the average, you know, Joe Blow play a couple of games and want to just have fun with the system wasn't going to run out and buy a PS3. Just wasn't going to happen. So after being out now less than a year, how many months? 10 months maybe, right? November it came out, so maybe not even 10 months. They've decided to, well, okay, during the course of this time, they've stopped making one of the versions of the PS3, right? The 40 gig version.
Ooh,
is that
now
correct?
It's a collector's item.
They've stopped making not. That. They've just announced that they're dropping the price on the 60 gig version, $100, to make it more cost effective. And in the same breath, they've announced now they're putting out an 80 gig version for the price of the old 60 gig version, thereby screwing everybody who bought the 60 gig version at its original price.
Yeah, and it plays Blu-ray.
Oodalolly.
Well,
I just think they're creating...
Don't get started on that stupid Blu-ray HD, because we're not
going
Blu-ray. In that again.
I think they're just creating more problems for themselves. I think instead of solving problems, they're creating more. To me, it would have been a better marketing strategy to announce the price change, let it ride for, I don't know, half a year, maybe even around the holidays or something like that, and then announce that you're putting out a bigger console.
You're probably right, but they have so many problems right now. They have a lack of leadership. The last president or whatever the arm of the company that runs the PlayStation thing is, like, left in a situation where he's kind of like, well, this kind of sucks, so I'm out of here, guys. And
this is not the first time that stuff like this has happened. Fantastic will tell you that the Sega company is famous for this sort of maneuvering, where they would announce a system, put it out, and then cancel the system. What was the system? They put it out and canceled it before it actually came out.
Well,
talking about the Sega CD?
The Dreamcast? Was it Dreamcast?
No, the Dreamcast came out.
And if you ask anybody who plays games, the Dreamcast is a very good system for games despite its short life. You may be referring to the Sega CD or 32X. Sega CD didn't have a lot of games, but it was out for a while, I'd say. The 32X is probably what you're referring to, and that had a lifespan that was cut way short, and almost deservedly so, because the thing blew, and there were very little games in the time that it came out.
So there you go.
But maybe the 3DO would be a better comparison here, because of the price point. Because even people like, or the Jaguar. Well, that had the problem with the expensive games, too, because they were on ROM carts. But you can't price yourself out of the industry. They did something very arrogant. Set that price point, expected, you know, their longtime fans and their companies, third-party companies that were developing for them for, like, years and years, like, say, Konami and Metal Gear Solid, which Konami is now saying, well, we're thinking about releasing the next Metal Gear on Xbox as well as PlayStation, because who the hell's going to play it?
And I also heard Square Enix is also thinking about
that's true.
Giving up on not giving up on it, but it's no longer going to be developing solely for PlayStation.
Right, and more of those companies are looking to Xbox to say, well, if we're going to have anybody buy this game, there needs to be installed base for the system. We're going to expand.
Yeah.
And that's a scary thing for Sony.
And those are two big companies. I mean, and two pretty big. They both have some really big franchises for Sony. So, I don't know. I think it's bad news for them, man. Bad news.
If you really want to play some good games for cheap, go pick up a PS2. It's supposedly getting even lighter by the month or whatever. They're going to release another version that has less circuitry and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, really?
It'll probably be a little bit cheaper. And you can get yourself $20 games new or used games for like $6.
And they're still putting out games for them, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and some of those old games are great, like the Siphon Filter series.
I like Siphon Filter. That's not a critically acclaimed one, but I like the first one. I played the first one.
That was a lot of fun. Remember that had that one where it had, like, that gun? What's that thing called? Like a zapper? Where you shot, like, the two electrodes out, and you shot
like a taser.
Yeah, like a taser, yeah. Remember that? You could taser a guy from like 400 feet. It was the best. I love that thing.
I liked that game, and not a lot
you could taser him until he caught on fire and died?
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Randall.
So he played something.
I don't know where that came from.
Jesus.
My Randall impression, I don't even know. I don't even know how I
can't do it now.
Let's see if I can do it with the same line. I like when you tasered. No. Nope. See,
it's not,
no,
it's not
right
there.
You had taser a taser guy from 400 feet until he catches on fire and dies.
No, now you're Canadian. Should have thrown an A in there.
I don't know.
There was a bit of Canadian circle in him, though.
Yeah. Hmm.
I think he did a commercial locally recently that I heard on the radio.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. It's possible.
I
well, he's in L.A., so that would be odd if he did.
Doesn't mean he can't do something locally.
I'm just
saying. You know, he's got a Jersey, New York, he's got a Jersey personality. I mean, as far as people recognizing his voice around here for the Jersey trilogy.
Don't
or...
try and explain technology to him.
Can we move on from
can we
Jeff
take a break,
Anderson?
Actually,
is that all the news?
That's all I got. I'm dying in here. I need some water.
Fantastic.
I'm about to pull an Estelle Getty if we don't take a break.
<Uh-oh>. And die?
No, just his health is going to fail.
Just be in really bad health.
Gotcha. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With pot shots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots, but they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow. It's
why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when
you,
it's updated and when the
you
website
have an opinion?
Is. It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. InHisLikeness.com.
Hey, this is David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London. And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back with Geek Stuff, episode 65, a name that I cannot remember because I don't have it written down in front of me.
Oh, my God. It's so simple.
Oh, is it?
It's Big Kev's Geek Stuff and the Sorcerer's Secret Phoenix Fire of Azkaban.
The letters on that Ethan Haas Was Right website for Cloverfield were easier to make out than that gibberish.
I don't know where he learned to pronounce the word sorcerer.
I don't know.
Sorcerer.
It's a teacup and sorcerer.
So what is this segment about, Matthew?
It is about Harry Potter. We saw The Order of the Phoenix last night, as we mentioned earlier in the show.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to do our critical review, which means Kevin will tell you about the first 15 minutes of the film, the middle 20, and the last 10.
What?
Well, he slept through the rest, so...
I was a little tired.
I figure I got to fill in the blanks.
It's a midnight show. I work.
It's like 2 hours and 18 minutes long.
Let him do the recap, and you just... correct him the whole time.
Okay, I'll verify sources. Before we talk about the film,
okay,
because really the film is an experience.
Yes.
There are trailers that come before the film.
It's
I'd
true.
Like to at least talk about one of them.
Okay.
Get Smart.
Yes. Get Smart looks very, very funny.
It
was a teaser, too, because that flick's not coming out till next year.
Yeah, man. But Steve Carell looks freaking hilarious in it.
And the too hot to be real Anne Hathaway as Agent 99.
Yeah. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Exactly. As Agent, I think it was 63 or something.
Some
like
crazy
that.
Shite.
And
who else was in? There was someone else.
What's
too.
His name as the chief?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Alan Arkin?
Alan Arkin as the chief.
Was
yes.
it Alan Arkin?
Yes, I believe so.
I don't think
it was. I don't know. It looked really good. It looked really
fantastic.
Funny.
Who's
so...
playing the chief in the Get Smart movie?
It is Alan Arkin.
See?
See? What are you saying C for? I'm the one that said it.
I know, and then I corrected you. Anyway, it looks funny, and I think it's worthwhile. The other trailer we saw was Riders in the Dark.
The Dark is Rising.
The Dark is Rising, featuring You Are a Cocksucker, Al Swearengen.
Yeah. I don't know if I
although
can do...
he doesn't say cocksucker at all in that trailer.
We probably should know that guy's name.
Al Swearengen.
It's not Al Swearengen. He played Al Swearengen on Deadwood.
So by proxy, his name, Al Swearengen.
But you can't say that Al Swearengen is the guy who's played. The guy's won like two Emmys
for playing Al Swearengen.
But you should.
Oh, you're talking about Ian McShane.
Ian McShane. See? Thank you. Ian Fantastic.
McShane. See?
Ian McShane is in the movie, and I'm quite sure, based on the trailer, he doesn't say cocksucker in the film once.
No, doesn't look that way.
Although it is just another fantasy. This is appropriate because it's before Harry Potter.
Right.
Type of movie.
There's a lot of those coming,
well,
isn't there?
I mean, I'm gonna some I'm excited about. Like, I am excited to see The Golden Compass.
Right.
You know, I wanted to see The Bridge to Terabithia. Unfortunately, I missed it, and
yeah,
I have it on,
DVD,
and I have to check it out. But some of them I'm excited about. Some of them, eh.
What's that one with the kid from Millions?
Oh,
it was
about the
Loch Ness Monster.
The Loch Ness Monster. Looked like Lockheed.
Seahorse or no?
Something. Yeah, something that doesn't say Loch Ness Monster
something
in the entire time.
Horse.
But we're watching this trailer with the kid from Millions.
Seahorse.
And this little baby monster
thing. Wait a minute. Fantastic probably knows the answer. He's on tonight.
It's the water horse.
The water horse.
Hey, subtitle. Legend of the Deep.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to cut off the subtitle there.
Legend of the Deep.
The water horse, Legend of the Deep.
It should be called... The Loch Ness Monster. Need about 350. That's what it should be called.
Yeah, that's it. It should be called the Loch Ness. It should be called that Loch Ness movie with the kid from Millions.
It should be called That Monster Looks Like Lockheed. Where the Hell's Shadow Cat? That's what it should be called.
C.
So anyway, so those were the trailers we saw. Sore.
We saw some trailers last night, laddies.
So those are the trailers that we saw before the movie Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
How was the movie?
It was good. It was really intense. Now, if you go online and you read some of these reviews, a lot of them are written by...
13-year-old brats?
No. See? Not 13-year-old brats. Older, middle-aged gentlemen that know dick shit about, I don't know if dick shit's a word, but about Harry Potter and the books.
See?
They're saying that it's the weakest movie so far in the franchise, and it loses all of the magic and charm of the franchise and what's happening to the characters. But for those of you who are fans of the book, Order of the Phoenix is the darkest, most disturbing book out of the series thus far. I mean, we don't know what the Deathly Hallows is going to bring to us in 3 weeks at this point.
I say something with death in it.
Well, yes.
I hope it's dark.
Well, most likely. But Order of the Phoenix really is kind of
hollow, though.
Depressing and creepy and a bit of a downer at times. So it's supposed to be like that. But I thought the movie was great. I really liked it a lot, actually.
I was kind of disturbed a little bit by that scene between Ron and Hermione.
Oh, their little flirtatious scene on the couch?
The adult scene.
Too much tongue?
Oh, right. A little too much skin for my taste, but
well,
just saying.
On Ron, I take it.
I don't think we should spoil it for anybody.
Anyway. The special effects in the movie were really good,
of course.
They have been.
Come on.
With one exception. In Book 5, Order of the Phoenix, the film Order of the Phoenix, Hagrid, our half-man, half-giant gameskeeper, fun-loving, played by Robbie Coltrane, introduces his brother, his half-brother, who's a full giant. And the giant is fully CGI. Now, the CGI was in bed. It looked good. It looked all right. Interacted with the characters very well. But it looked like Alfred E. Newman.
Yeah, Groff.
From Mad Magazine.
Yeah. I can't imagine them not parodying this movie. Actually, I think the current issue that's out, that just came out last week, of Mad Magazine actually parodies the movie, and I should have stopped to look in it and
see
if they actually did that. Yeah, but he does.
He looks
Grarp, isn't it? Grarp,
yeah, something
Grarp.
Like that.
That's the character's name. Looks like Alfred E. Newman, belted by gamma rays, turned into the Grap. I mean, that's what it looked like.
Does he move like Andy Serkis?
No, did Andy Serkis do that?
No, I don't know. Andy Serkis is like every CGI character.
Is every CGI character outside of Doug Jones. Doug Jones is starting to step up in the ranks.
Well, at least Andy Serkis does his own voices.
He does do his own voices. But yeah, the movie was really good. I thought I thought all of the characters really well. Again, Alan Rickman as Snape was awesome, but Gary Oldman as Sirius Black was amazing.
Gary Oldman, sir.
Is it? I said Oldham?
We'll go in and correct it later. So, for someone who's never read any of the books, but okay. I've seen all the movies, I was disappointed by almost every movie except the one with the werewolves.
Okay, that would be the third one. Prisoner of Azkaban.
Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, I thought that one was pretty good. But the first one, I had a lot of trouble sitting through. The second one, I actually walked out on. The third one, I saw. And the fourth one was such a hodgepodge of all different stories and things come together
right.
that I had no clue about. I was just confused, and I said, you know what? I'm not even going to try and watch this one again. Where does this one lie for me, the hater of all Harry Potter films?
You
know what?
Will not. I do not believe that he'll enjoy this one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
is that something that people say a lot, or am I the only one who's like, it's not even that it's confusing.
No, a lot of
it's
people
just,
would
like,
say
this isn't new.
I think fantastic.
Well, a lot of people would say that the third film is probably the best one. So you're right there. A lot of people would agree with you there.
I think Fantastic is taking, and the mistake I think that a lot of people make who kind of feel the way Fantastic does is that Fantastic, perhaps you are taking these as individual films rather than the expanse of one story in that many chapters.
Well, I'm aware that it's one long story. It's
so
a
therefore
saga,
you,
and I
right,
I you, appreciate that. Okay. And I allow for, you know, okay, we'll leave some holes here and we'll fill them in later
right.
and so forth. Hey, I've seen other movies like that before. But I just think that I wanted something like everybody said, oh, the book is so charming. It's so new. It's, you know, the first, they're very colorful and cheery. And you get to, you know, really imagine these things and be exposed to everything that's fantastical. And you go to school. And the premise of, going to a wizard's school.
Yeah.
I can imagine the allure of that. And I'm almost excited to see it every time I start watching the DVD. But I can't finish the thing because it's just so, I don't know. The word is cheesy. Trite,
well,
old?
Well. Whatever the situation is, you certainly can't follow through four chapters of a story having not read half of the second chapter. So whether you enjoyed the third one and for whatever reasons, there's a big part of the story in the second movie that you don't know.
No, I've seen it. Let's put it that way. I've seen it.
Okay.
But by that point, I was
out of
it. I was pissed off.
Yeah, because you're looking now you're like, oh, I can't wait for this to be over. So you're even subconsciously eliminating things or ignoring
right,
things.
It just gets worse and worse. It's a slippery slope.
Right,
there.
But those things that you may need to be paying attention to may have missed them. And by missing them, of course, once you get to four, which really kind of crosses a line there.
Well, I got to say, I mean, the third one, like I said, it brought me back into it. And I said, all right, I'll give the next ones a chance. And maybe I'll even go back and watch one and two again to try and get myself back into it. Maybe I was
right.
pissed off that day. Who knows? I get pissed off sometimes.
I know. It's the creatine.
Creatine does not make you pissed off.
Oh, really?
And we wait for the toxicology report.
Uh-huh.
But so I gave the third one a chance. I liked it. The fourth one, it went back downhill. So then I realized, well, maybe it was just something about it as a movie and not anything I like about
yes.
Harry Potter.
Okay, I think the problem that the fourth one had was that the fourth one was trying to cover too much material without eliminating enough of the unessential information. And so what happened is you got a hodgepodge of storylines, and certain things that should have been fleshed out a little bit better were not. And I think that the fourth one, almost you really did have to read the book in order to appreciate the fourth one, because what the movie becomes almost is a visual cliff notes to those who have previously read the book, where
yeah.
as you're watching it, it's hitting upon major aspects of the book that you're remembering, and you're getting the visualization now that you may have lacked when reading the book.
Whoa, I wanna slow you down, because now I haven't read any of the books.
Okay.
You have
yet I have not read a single one of the books, yet I follow all of the movies that I've seen. I know what's going on. I know what the relationships are as presented in the films.
Yeah, but you don't...
I'm not saying that you can't do that, but what I'm saying is that four is definitely a little bit more difficult than some of the other films.
If you're going to write it as a film, you're not going to write it like that.
Right.
You're not going to put all those characters and, you know, closing up. There's that competition,
yeah.
right?
And you have so many side characters, and there's no build-up to it.
I mean, it's not that I don't know what's going on. It's that I don't buy it. It's like, if you're going to put it into a movie, you're going to have to do it better than they did. I'm thinking I should just stop watching them and start reading them.
Well, I agree that you should read them, hands down.
Yeah, and I agree that I have, you know, I have limited my experience to only the movies where I should not have ignored the books. So I do intend on some point of reading the books.
I think that perhaps maybe when it comes out on DVD or if you have access to it otherwise, I think you should give the fifth one a try.
Otherwise? Like some sort of illegal thing?
Just saying. I think there's a turn that happens in the fifth one where you have all of the aspects of the fantastical and you have the charm that goes along with some of the early stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the dark turn that it starts to take is very, it's a little bit more adult. It's a little bit more intriguing. And it's definitely, I don't know. I think it's really intense and it actually played out very well on the screen. And I think that if you have a 2 hours and 18 minutes to dedicate to it at some point in the future, you should at least give it a whirl. Because if you like it, you may be interested in proceeding with the series, which I think they're going to end up pretty good. So,
and Half-Blood Prince is the next one, right?
It is, the Half-Blood Prince, yes.
Hmm.
So, and that's actually in pre-production now. So, you know, and then obviously Deathly Hallows will be, I'm sure, shortly thereafter.
All right, so per your recommendation, I'll go check this one out after I watch Chariots of Fire and Poltergeist. Don't tell me how they end.
Wow.
Really? Poltergeist?
Oh my God.
I mean, Chariots of Fire, fine, but Poltergeist? That's the only movie that actually ever scared me enough that I couldn't sleep. And I was not a child when that movie came out.
No, that's kind of creepy, that movie, though.
We should say also, there's a
there's
lot
more
of
to
stuff.
Say about Potter.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to say about Potter. Obviously, the film, you know, you saw the whole thing.
Right.
And you enjoyed it. I saw the pieces that I saw, I liked very much.
Uh-huh.
So we should say also that there's a lot of stuff going on with Potter. Like recently in the news, a first British edition of the first Harry Potter book, which is what, Philosopher's Stone?
In Sorcerer's the UK, Stone. It is the Philosopher's Stone. In the United States, it is the Sorcerer's Stone.
Well, whichever one it was, recently sold for $18,000.
Now, if I remember correctly, the original print run for a first edition Harry Potter book was very limited. Like 1,000 copies or something insanely low.
Oh, really?
It was like really limited.
Oh.
But it went into second, third, and fourth printings almost immediately.
Right.
And it's probably in its 50th printing at this point. So that doesn't surprise me. I mean, when you get first editions of books that have become so popular, certainly
right.
they do fetch a hefty price on the market.
In addition to to that piece of news, we should talk about the merchandising.
There's a ton of it.
A little bit. Yeah, there is a ton of it. Let's talk about some of it. Cards, Inc., which is now known as Popco Entertainment,
mm-hmm.
has the license to produce the Harry Potter figures in Europe. They're the 3 3/4 figures.
And
so
they're gorgeous.
Yeah, they are gorgeous. But think G.I. Joes.
Right.
Articulated. The likenesses on 3 3/4 figures are incredible.
Right.
And they have an incredible amount of characters coming out. They also have play sets. Like the Gryffindor common room, which comes with Ginny Weasley.
Right.
It looks like that's the trend here.
Yeah, we talked
like
about these at Toy Fair, actually, during our
right.
Toy Fair wrap-up with Adrian from Action Figure.
Exactly. And they have a lot of these pieces coming out. They have a lot of characters. They look swell. They have some little magical thing that you can do with them, which is fantastic. And they look great. Only problem, got to have a friend overseas to get them, or you got to
right.
start looking online. That's the big news.
Sure.
There. But to go on to the more U.S.-friendly purchases.
NECA, you mean?
NECA, of course, has the master license, and they are producing
everything.
Everything, including a stunning 6-inch line.
Yes, they're
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely stunning, dead-on likenesses.
12-inch line.
Oh, really? I haven't seen the 12-inch. Was Hagrid?
No. Hagrid.
Oh.
Hagrid is in scale with the 6-inch line. So he's
right.
probably somewhere in a 10-inch, 12-inch range, maybe.
Right.
But he isn't. But he's part of the 6-inch line technically.
Right.
I'm talking about like 12-inch doll type.
Right.
Pieces.
Right. Yeah. And we should say in addition to those pieces, they also have a full line of plush, which is they have some dragons, the Snitch, of course,
Hedwig,
Scabbers,
Crookshanks,
right, the Sorting Hat, Is it Fox?
Fox the Phoenix. Fox Dumbledore's the Phoenix. Phoenix.
Yep. Buckbeak.
Mm-hmm. The Hippogriff from Prisoner of Azkaban.
In addition to that, they have wall scrolls, keychains, posters, Harry Potter chests.
Plaques, wall clocks.
Pillows.
You name it, they got it.
They have bookends, lunch boxes. They have some of the signage from the movie, the Leaky Cauldron sign, the Hogwarts Express sign.
I have that sign.
I
bought it.
Desk clock. I mean, the list goes on. Banners from all the houses. Wall scrolls. The Weasley family clock they're putting out.
It's pretty cool, that clock, actually.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it's such an incredible array of stuff. You can go over to NECA, of course, and check that out. Is it NECA.com?
Actually, I believe it's NECA Entertainment, maybe, or something like that.
Well, if you Google NECA, you're looking for Northeast Collectible...
Something.
Something, yeah, you'll find it. And you can also go to popcoentertainment.com.
Right.
I guess, and you can see the full line of the 3¾ figures coming from Popco.
Well, I have a couple more things I want to say about the movie. Before we say that, I just want to throw in there. You would be remiss in not checking out Tonner's line as well. I'm sure that they're going to have stuff coming out from Order of the Phoenix. We know they have a bunch of
their first adult figure stuff. Their first adult figure is Snape, and I believe we may have images of him sooner than later. Yep. Yeah. Very exciting.
But back to the film, I think there's a couple of actors maybe we should point out or give credit to again. Ralph Fiennes as Voldemort, again, outstanding performance. Helena Bonham Carter as Bellatrix Lestrange, the cousin of Sirius Black. Also great performance, and she has a much bigger role in the next film.
Right.
So it was nice to see her finally introduced. I don't know. Overall, I think it's good. I think Harry Potter fans will be very happy. You've got only a couple of weeks before the last and final book comes out.
Isn't it next week?
It is the 21st. So
that is next week, I think.
Although I've recently read that J.K. Rowling is reconsidering never, ever writing about the series again. I don't think you'll ever see a full-fledged Harry Potter book, but you may see more books about the world that she has created,
right?
Surrounding,
I like
Harry
that.
Potter.
I like that idea. I don't understand why that she would bail on it.
Well, I think that she probably,
I mean,
as an author, wanted
Harry
to move
is,
on.
You know,
yeah. But even if Harry bites the bullet,
dead.
Even if Harry dies in the seventh book,
shh, don't give it away.
That doesn't mean anything else can or cannot be written about. I mean, I think part of the problem is that she didn't want anybody else to write about it, but she wanted to move on and maybe write some other work. And I think with something as rich as Harry Potter, with as big a fan base as Harry Potter, you're eventually going to have people that want to write separate stories, a la Star Wars, Star Trek.
Hey, as long as they don't start writing about that creepy blonde girl in this flick.
Luna Lovegood?
Creepy.
Ah, she was awesome.
Creepy.
She played the part really well. Creepy. Played the part really well. She was good.
Creepy.
So that's it. Harry Potter, Order of the Phoenix. Go check it out. Again, a quick thank you to AMC Movie Theaters for allowing us to host the event at their palatial Garden State Plaza Theater. And we'll be back there again, I'm sure.
And, of course, check out NECA's products. Google them and get their site. Check out popcoentertainment.com. And, of course,
Tonnerinc.com.
Tonnerinc.com. For a full line, between the three of them, a full line of products for the Harry Potter fan.
Sure.
And I guess we'll be right back with the wrap-up.
We will, sir.
Hi, everyone. This is Mark.
No, stop it. Do it right.
This is Mr. Fantastic.
There you go.
Producer of Geek Stuff. Check out the home site at www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com, where you can download each episode, check out image galleries, and drop us your comments each and every week. That's bigkevsgeekstuff.com. I fucking hate you guys.
Hello, nurse. This is Yakko
and Wacko from Animaniacs, and you're listening to
Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Keep him tuned in.
Yeah, because if you don't, he'll kill you.
Yeah, he is really big, folks. We're looking at him. It's scary.
We're animated, totally insane-y. Inky and the Brainy Animaniacs. Those are the facts.
And we're back, and by that music you can tell it is time to wrap up episode 65 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Big Kev's Geek Stuff and the Sorcerer's Secret Phoenix Fire of Azkaban.
A.K.A. Kevin doesn't get to name any episodes anytime soon.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Mucky Hermes and what
was what was your episode for this title? I mean, title for this episode.
I didn't come up with one because you had some crazy idea.
Exactly.
I could have called it something else, I'm
exactly.
Sure.
You brought to the table?
The entire episode.
What,
did
you?
What did you bring to the Dynamic Forces, Jason Voorhees, and Neil Gaiman?
Is that what we're going to do now?
To the table?
Is that what we're
going
to do now?
Look, this is the wrap-up. I like this. This is the wrap-up argument instead of a real wrap-up. We also talked about Cloverfield tonight. We talked about Justice League, Superman Returns. We talked about Indiana Jones 4, Kill Bill 3 and 4.
This is the wrap-up that you're doing? Just
saying, man.
We talked about this.
Well,
what do we say about these things?
Superman Returns, why? Justice League, who cares?
That's why they watch the show.
Indiana Jones 4, I hope it's not about the Ark of the Covenant.
The what?
Ooh. Jet Li is the Monkey King.
I almost had to do a double explicit tag on that.
We don't care about Kill Bill 3 and 4. You know. What do you got?
Well, apparently nothing.
Oh, come on. You got some toys, some
Neil
some
Gaiman
books.
Has a new collection out called Emma's for Magic of some previously rarely released stories. It's $16.99 from HarperCollins Children's. You can check that out at HarperCollinsChildrens.com. See? That's a wrap-up. See, I wrapped up what we talked about the book. Now everybody knows. Everyone knows now what we talked about.
We provided our listening
audience.
We
also talked about NECA coming out with their latest line in the fall of their new cult classic Series 6, which, amongst other characters, are going to feature Kiefer Sutherland and Jason Patrick's characters, David and Michael, from The Lost Boys.
Maggots, Michael.
And those are very exciting.
We updated our listening audience on the DC Direct / Mattel toy news information. Mattel now has the right to the DC character archive. DC Direct will continue to do specialized product. There you go.
Wildstorm Comics, wildstorm.com, put out a brand new Friday the 13th comic, which is very interesting. Friday the 13th, Pamela's Tales tells the story of Pamela Voorhees and how she gets knocked up and delivers a young, creepy Jason.
World's ugliest baby.
Yes, but the cover by Dustin Nguyen is just really striking and just really has struck me.
It is a nice cover.
And I am a fan, so I'll be reading that. One
Kudos.
Of two issues in this miniseries.
What about those Dynamic Forces posters?
Dynamic Forces issuing a series of posters, which they've solicited for quite a while. Many titles included. Well, the five or six titles included. Some from 300, one from Savage Tales, one from Red Sonja, something from Sin City. All of the posters are very nice. They're on good paper. A little problem, they're about half the size of a normal poster, and they're a buck more expensive. So, not a lot of poster for the money, but if you are a fan of 300, these are two really great pieces from 300. And the Frank Cho Red Sonja cover is definitely worthy of posterhood, even in this smaller, more expensive version.
Xbox and Microsoft is going to have a $1 billion loss this quarter due to hardware failure for their Xbox 360 system. And Sony has announced some price and product changes to its PlayStation 3 line, both of which I think are boos.
In our second segment tonight, we talked about our experience over at the AMC Garden State 16 as we hosted the midnight show of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
It's true. We enjoyed the film. Kev, what he saw of it, me, the whole thing. I think Fantastic should definitely check it out. Otherwise, he'd be robbing himself. Some great performances by some stellar actors in this film. And kind of sets us up for the 7th book and the 6th film later next year.
Right. And also check out Popco Entertainment and their 3¾ Harry Potter line. You will not be not impressed.
That's right.
If I can say that. NECA, of course, has a full line of 6-inch, 12-inch plush keychains, posters, everything for Harry Potter lunchboxes, a full and complete line of Harry Potter products available for your purchase. Check them out at on their online website, NECA something something. Google NECA and right. You'll find it. And check out, of course, our friends at Tonner as they continue their Harry Potter line. And you can check them out at, was it tonnerinc.com? Uh-huh. Something like that.
And don't forget, depending on where you're listening to us, you can check us out online at bigkevsgeekstuff.com. If you subscribe to us in iTunes, drop us a review. If you don't subscribe to us in iTunes, subscribe to us in iTunes. You can check us out at MySpace. And, you know, drop us an email. Let us know what you think of the show. You hate us. You love us. We said something wrong again.
Are we still doing that YouTube thing?
Yeah, it's been a little slow because YouTube's been giving me some hard times with getting the files up there, but I'm trying.
All right,
I'm trying.
Fantastic. Do you have any final words for episode 65, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and the Sorcerer's Secret Phoenix Fire of Azkaban?
It's Sorcerer.
And on that note, we cue the music.